Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's highs and lows in wrestling here on the unofficial WWE podcast. Today is Sunday, July 11th, 2021. My name is Mimi Burris, and we had a whole lot of awesome stuff to talk about this week with the Great American Bash and AEW Road Rager. There was SmackDown on Raw as well, and I'm sure we will get into that as always right after this.
Hardy with a powerful right hand knocking Sammy Guevara through the stage.
I want a divorce.
Oh! Don Ferry! He's covered in Don Ferry!
Very elevated up and over the top of the
assist. Oh! Bailey, no! Get down!
Are you kidding me?
You ruined my life! I told you I was going to ruin yours!
I feed a whole family with this title!
As always, I hope you all have had a wonderful week this week. I myself am still under the weather. This thing will not go away. But I did have a great week watching all the stuff going on in wrestling, obviously. And I loved getting to talk about AEW Road Rager this week with Ashley Mann on our AEW Dynamite review show. So if you have not gone and checked that out, go check us out. Always love to hear what she has to say. As well as just overall an awesome week in wrestling, I thought. There was some really, really good stuff to talk about. So we're gonna start with the high of the week this week and change things up here. It is our 30th episode here of the highs and lows of the week. So why not switch it around a little bit and start on a positive note? Because like I said, there was a bunch of awesome stuff going on this week. So before we get into the official high of the week, I will say the Great American Bash, I thought, overachieved. I thought even the Johnny Gargano Karrion Kross segment was really good. I liked the line about Karrion Kross not being able to lace his wife's boots, because it's true. I mean, Candice LeRae could run circles around Karrion Kross in that ring, just an overall better wrestler. So I thought the Million Dollar Championship match was really way better than their ladder match. The NXT Women's Championship Tag Team Championship match with the victory going to Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. You guys have heard me on the show before. I'm a big Zoe Stark fan. I'm following her career excitedly because I think she's got a lot of awesome stuff to offer. I love that match. I thought those women worked really well together. It wasn't, you know, an A-plus match. I actually thought the Triple Threat tag team match last week was better. However, I did really enjoy that match. And Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole was at least way better than their 40-minute saga that they just had to have on their last unsanctioned match. So with that being said, overall, guys, NXT was probably my favorite show of the week. Over on AEW, maybe maybe, yeah, you know what? I'm going to give it to NXT. NXT was probably my favorite show of the week, but though there was a lot of good stuff on Road Rager, it did not over-deliver at all. In fact, I actually think it under-delivered with a ho-hum first match that just kind of was there. Everything with QT Marshall and this feud seems to just kind of be there. The amazing, and this, guys, talk about having spoiled for choice for High of the Week. I was not sure what I was going to pick this week, and this was definitely a candidate. The Tony Schiavone interview with Kenny Omega and the whole Hangman Page Dark Order segment. The culmination of a wonderful long-term story. And not even culmination, but just one of the many peaks that this long-term story is going to hit. And it felt satisfying as a fan who's been following along with it to watch. I felt gratified. I feel like my intelligence is not being insulted. And I'm really, really enjoying all this Kenny Omega, Hangman, Adam Page stuff. So if you didn't check out AEW this week, definitely worth watching. And if you're not sure of what is she talking about, Hangman Page and Kenny Omega, there's a whole thread on Twitter about it, and I'm sure you can also just look up, you know, what's the story with Page and Kenny Omega, and you will get millions and millions of AEW marks out there who are just, or not millions and millions, thousands and thousands of AEW marks out there who are just putting a whole timeline together of this whole thing, because it is really intricate and well done. The Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle match was and, you know, Chris Jericho and MJF's showdown was, again, it just, everything underdelivered, including Andrade's debut. The one thing that absolutely did not underdeliver, guys, was Malakai Black is All Elite. Made a debut, hit the Black Mass, or whatever he's going to be calling it now, in to Arn Anderson, and then hit Cody Rhodes with it as well. And, you know, that just led us into this amazing street fight. Just fun street fight. It wasn't, like, amazing wrestling, but it was just your typical fun street fight as the main event between Penta and Eddie Kingston versus the Young Bucks. So, no complaints, really, in regards to all the amazing stuff that was on AEW. There was some stuff just that I wish was going to be better, but I know I have faith in as well still. And, you know, there was no women's match on the card besides the mixed tag team match. So, there's that, too. But what can you do about that? Because that's just a continuous problem in AEW that I'm not going to stop talking about, because somebody's got to continue to advocate for the women who seemingly are not getting the same treatment as the men are. In all of wrestling, by the way, not just AEW, but AEW is a clear culprit of it right now. So that was all the good stuff of the week. As you guys can tell, I'm not talking much about Raw and SmackDown because I just thought they were awful. But, yeah, so let's go over to NXT for our official high of the week, guys, which is none other than the opening match to NXT Great American Bash, and it was MSK versus Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. And, yeah, guys, guess how this match ended if you did not watch it. MSK, I think it was Wesley, who rolled up Timothy Thatcher in a small package and got the 1-2-3, and it was a good use of the roll-up, because you can do that, and it made sense in this story. It's just so, I don't know if I can say bastardized on the show. I'm going to go with it, bastardized, and overused in all of wrestling nowadays, but mostly just WWE. It's like, oh my god, they get the victory, and then they run on the ramp. Do you notice Wesley and, obviously, both of MSK got the roll-up, and they didn't run off onto the ramp like they just, like, stole one. They out-wrestled. They, again, out-wrestled the Grizzled Young Veterans. They out-wrestled Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher, meaning that was the whole story of this match. Yeah, we knew, obviously, MSK are fun, exciting, high flyers, but you've got, again, Grizzled, Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher. I hate to reuse that term, obviously, with the Grizzled Young Veterans, another tag team in NXT, but that's exactly what they are. They are just grizzled, they're tough, they're badass, you know, and so having MSK, quote-unquote, out-wrestle, that's what Daniel Bryan used to always talk about. He wanted to be known as, like, Mr. Small Package way back in the day. Fun fact, which is, I think, is hilarious, and he should have ran with that gimmick, but I'm sure he was not allowed to. I think that's hilarious. Mr. Small Package, that's exactly how this match ended, because the whole story of the match is that these high-flying guys were able to get in a fight with these two grizzled fighting wrestlers, these great guys in the ring, technical, but also just will beat you silly. And although they hit a bunch of high spots, the matches were not about the high spots. The matches were about being able to take the punishment from Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher and be able to still manage to beat them and still manage to out-wrestle them in the ring, not just with their fun corkscrew sentons and pushing backflips and all that stuff, which again is awesome. And that's MSK's like bread and butter. But they showed you in this match, and this is why it's really the high of the week, there's another dimension, another layer to MSK. And so I really, really, really love this match. I did not like it as much as I liked the Dusty Finals, the Dusty Tag Team Championship tournament thing finals with Grizzled Young Veterans. I thought that was a better match. But it also might have just been, quote-unquote, a little more entertaining because it was a little bit more high-spotty, and we also still did not know a lot about MSK at that time. And we still don't. And so we got to see a whole nother, like I said, a whole nother dimension to MSK. And, I mean, Wesley is a star in the making. Obviously, they're both incredible. I don't want to take anything away from Nash Carter, but I could definitely... I'm, like, already picturing a breakup in my head. But who knows? You know, I don't know a lot about them. I think they were like the Rascals or something like that in Impact. I don't know much about their story. I don't know if they ever wanted to be singles wrestlers, but I definitely think both of them could absolutely pull it off. And this was just well-paced. The story was really, really intricately and detailed, well told in the ring with wrestling moves. Like, that's the point of wrestling, is storytelling, not just like, again, high spot for high spot's sake. So this definitely, definitely, definitely over-delivered, or I don't know if he had high expectations on it, then it just delivered. But I'm going to go back and watch this match. This is definitely going to be a random recommendation for you guys down the line. So that is your high for the week. I'd love to hear what you guys have to say, obviously, in regards to what your high of the week was. You can tweet me on the Twitter at Mimi Burris. You can always obviously send me an email at Mimi Burris at, no, what is it? Mimi.realwwepodcast@gmail.com. See, I always mess that up. And you guys are going to have to work with me here a little bit. I'm still under the weather, but I wanted to make sure we got on here and talked about, because this was a great week in wrestling. You know, I just mentioned a bunch of awesome stuff that was done really well. So, absolutely, high of the week goes to NXT. And with all that being said, we were not maybe as spoiled for choice and low for the week, but there was still plenty to talk about. And honestly, I feel like I'm just developing such an apathy to a lot of this wrestling nowadays, especially on Raw and SmackDown, so it's hard to be so passionate about what I hate so much about it anymore, because it's the same crap every week. Literally the same crap every week, especially when we move over and start talking about SmackDown here. So, I can't be the only one who's realizing, or like, how simple of a solution this is with SmackDown, guys. I don't even know to give my low for the week, just to SmackDown in general lately. But we had a bunch of Money in the Bank qualifying matches, right? King Nakamura versus Baron Corbin, which, guys, at the same time, I'm almost like, I don't even care at this point, because freaking Rick Boogs is the greatest thing to ever happen at professional wrestling. Then we had Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. Last week we had Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. And I think it was the week before that, if not last week as well, we had Apollo Crews versus Big E once again. So, hear me out. Just a simple solution, I'm thinking, why couldn't we do like Sami Zayn versus Apollo Crews? Or I don't know, Kevin Owens, Apollo Crews. We do Sami Zayn versus Cesaro. And then Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. Just, like, again, we've seen some of these matches already, but a slight switch up to the same exact matchups. I don't know if WWE creative and or probably Vince McMahon is either just kind of going insane in the brain, or if they genuinely think, like, this is a good idea, or if they're just appeasing this man who just continuously puts these two people together. Like, I don't know. Maybe there's like short-term memory loss going on there. I don't know what's happening, but this is ridiculous.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They have such a huge roster, and they just released about half of it. But they could have made so many different original matches for all this stuff, and they did the same stuff they've been doing for the last months. I will repeat myself once again. Big E has not had a match without Apollo Crews in it since March. It's July, guys. It is July. March, April, May, June, July. It's ridiculous. So SmackDown, I tweeted this morning. I watched it this morning because, again, I've just been going to bed so early. I haven't been feeling well. But I tweeted this morning. I was watching it, and I said, I'm literally more interested in my Fruit Loops at the moment than I am in watching whatever's on my screen on SmackDown. Obviously, Bayley getting injured is like the worst thing ever because, especially the timing, she deserves this fan reaction. And she honestly, I know she's a heel, but she'd probably get cheered at this point because she's just doing such good work. And she deserves some recognition for that from the fans because she clearly gets no recognition from it, from WWE, anyone backstage, considering how they had her booked at WrestleMania. They get punched in the face by the Bella Twins and nobody cared and they just booed it. So I don't know if they tried to pump in something over that, but it was pretty much booed out of the building. So Bayley deserves way better, and obviously I hope she recovers as soon as possible. Maybe she pulls a John Cena and recovers early and returns at the Royal Rumble, because it sounds like she's probably not returning until March at the earliest. So, yeah, and so with the Carmella thing, I don't know why they just don't give, you know, why do they have to give Bianca Belair an opponent right now? They're not even putting it on Money in the Bank. It's next week on SmackDown. So I get it. It's the first live SmackDown, but we all know how that match is going. Though, imagine, guys, Carmella takes the shock victory. That would be cool. I wouldn't be against that because Carmella is definitely super underrated and deserves plenty of recognition as well. So moving on over to Raw, guys. I'm entertained by John Morrison. I said it. Johnny Drip Drip does it for me, guys, with the drip sticks, and almost makes me hate Ricochet a little bit less. But this whole Miz TV thing was my favorite part, I guess, was Riddle going up on the ladder, because apparently, you know, he was watching the promos for Money in the Bank a couple years back where they would all just sit on top of the ladder. So he was, maybe they were making fun of themselves. Probably not. I don't think they have the capability, the mental capacity to do that. But, yeah, and you know what? Mustafa Ali and Mansoor, it's something. Jinder Mahal versus Drew McIntyre was probably one of the worst things on the show. We talk about how Mace and T-Bar faced the Lucha House Party. Like, oh, okay, here's just a reminder that we have a dominant big guys in our tag team division. Maybe they'll go up once faces win the titles or something. Nope. Lucha House Party rolled up Mace and T-Bar. So there was that. Matt Riddle versus AJ Styles was a good match, so I'm not going to complain about that. But Elias and Cedric Alexander versus Jackson Ryker and R-Truth, obviously with the 24/7 championship stuff, which, you know what? It's like, in comparison to the rest of this show and all of WWE's programming as a whole, it's like not even close to one of their most cardinal sins. So I think I'm just so brain dead at this point from watching this show for so long that I almost don't even mind it. Excuse me. And yeah, Cedric Alexander taking the pin. I didn't mind the stuff that was going on with Jeff Hardy. It wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as WWE usually is, and at least Cedric Alexander was on TV. He's got a place. He's got a mad annoying voice, like really annoying voice. Sounds like my brother did when he first hit puberty. He's just really annoying voice. So I'm all for him being on TV more and being a heel. And that was great. It was weird, but it was something. But I guess Cedric Alexander got pinned in like less than 90 seconds. So there goes that. And I'm fairly invested, I guess, into this New Day Hurt Business stuff. I take that back. I'm not invested at all, but I can see why other people would be invested. But when you know, guys, you probably guessed it, what your low for the week is. And it is Nikki A.S.H., Alexa Bliss, Naomi, and Asuka versus Jax, Baszler, Doudrop, and Eva Marie. Let me start with this. All right, Nikki A.S.H. No, Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross and the superhero gimmick. I've heard a lot of people defending her on Twitter saying, you know what? Defending it on Twitter saying it was her idea, you know, so let her, like, rock with it. And you know what? Fine. It's okay if it's her idea. That's great. I'm glad somebody let, you know, creative let her have her own idea and go with it. Just because it was her idea, guys, though, doesn't mean it's good. And if it's for the kids, fine, but the acting is terrible. The acting is, this whole thing is so cringeworthy. I would be so embarrassed if somebody came in and saw me watching this, and I don't really care too much what other people think about me, if you could probably guess that by hearing some of the crap I say on this podcast, except you, Logan Meyer, 23. You broke my heart. But other than that, I don't really care about what people think much, but I think I would be dead embarrassed if somebody walked in and saw me watching a segment with Nikki A.S.H. Alexa Bliss is... Where was I going with that? I was starting... Oh, Nikki Cross, though. Fairly good in the ring. If you go back to her NXT days, obviously that match with Shayna Baszler was pretty good. Had a good story behind it. So, like, you know, no ring gender at all, but definitely can work in the ring for sure. Alexa Bliss, an incredible talent in the ring. Totally underutilized right now. Naomi, choppy, can be sloppy, but she is definitely entertaining. And we have Asuka, who is more of a, who hasn't been in prime form in the ring, and I don't know if it's just because who she's wrestling or whatever it is, but those matches with Charlotte Flair really sucked. So you got four okayers, essentially, besides maybe Alexa Bliss. And you have Nia Jax, who is really good at injuring people. That's not gone away. Shayna Baszler, who's Shayna frickin' Baszler, but obviously has her own type of wrestling. You got Doudrop. You have Doudrop. Sorry, guys. I'm still coming around to the acceptance that I have to say the words Doudrop on this podcast and try to be serious about it. You have Piper Niven, who's actually really great in the ring and super entertaining to watch. And you have Eva Marie, who clearly needs just... Who, as from what we've seen of her, is no Charlotte Flair in the ring. Let's put it that way. The more women you and the more men you put in a match, the harder it is to tell some kind of story with it. And you've got... no one in this match really who could be the general of the match as a whole. So there's that makes it messy and hard to watch as it is. Just in like pure wrestling. Like if I'm just watching a wrestling match, screw all the characters and all the other stuff. The wrestling at its very core is not good. Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss are just a team now. Or just on teams all the time because they're just apparently... fine after that whole thing happened, so we're just forgetting about that, because I don't know about you guys, I have the brain of a goldfish, so I can't remember a couple months back, which is actually kind of true, but I remember that, and this essentially just dissolved, and a bunch of people tried to hit their moves, and Bliss ended up being the last woman standing, and she screamed at Eva Marie, you know, ducked and ran. And then Doudrop was in the ring when we came back from commercial break with Nikki Cross, doing her Doudrop thing, just being awesome, because Piper Niven is a great wrestler, being one of the few bright spots in this match. And that spot where Asuka got crushed by her and Jax looked rough. And then essentially we get weird trans hypnosis stuff with Alexa Bliss, and then Nia Jax hits Nikki Cross with the Samoan drop and gets 3 count. So there goes any momentum you had with this almost superhero Nikki A.S.H., which they're just making fun of that creative writer who wrote Bobby Ashley or something like that, or said Bobby Ashley on a podcast, and it's stupid. It doesn't work. It's not funny. You want to know what was funny? It was Britt Baker saying that they should do AEW Dynamite in Saudi Arabia. That was funny. Terrible. Terrible stuff. So this was just, you know why it's my low for the week, guys? Because there was a lot of awful stuff this week, especially SmackDown and Raw, and a lot of repeats of stuff, and I couldn't even pick between the repeats of Baron Corbin and Shinsuke Nakamura, and then also, obviously, with Seth Rollins and Cesaro, which was a good match, nonetheless. But so that's my difference, I guess, guys, is that at least the wrestling in those repeat matches is functional, if not great sometimes. Boring, because I've seen these guys wrestle so many times, there's no story being told at this point, or if it is, it's just the well is dry. But at least it's functional wrestling. This match had no functional wrestling in it. And if you look at some of the talents in that ring, it's sad. It is sad that this is what we have come to. So With all that being said, guys, I did want to mention, too, I don't know about anybody else. I'm so not really into this storyline, I guess, with the whole Roman Reigns and Edge thing. Someone's going to have to tell Edge he's not allowed to use that thing in the ring, the part of the chair in a no DQ match, unless they just make it a no DQ match. I guess I get what they're trying to do, but it all seems so repetitive and redundant. And, you know, obviously with what happened to Jimmy Uso, I just want to say this. This is what I will say on the issue. And as someone, how do I want to put this? To be very, very careful with my words here. As someone who, just to put it very vaguely for you guys, whatever, who actually understands disease of alcoholism and addiction and whatever you want to call it, whatever suffering, whatever Jimmy Uso might be suffering with, I understand that something like a DUI to somebody who doesn't understand that might look like, oh, you're just an idiot and you just get in the car when you shouldn't. Like, don't get me wrong. Driving under the influence is so stupid. It is so stupid with all the options we have at this point. We've got Uber. We've got taxis. We've got Lyft. You can call a friend. Like, there's a million. I don't need to, like, advertise to you. This isn't, like, Dare program on the WWE podcast. But my point being is there are so many options. And yes, it's not intelligent. It is not an intelligent thing to do. It's a really stupid decision. But when you're suffering from something like alcoholism or addiction, and I'm not Jimmy Uso, so I'm not saying that he is, because guess what? It's like a self-diagnosed thing. You can only diagnose yourself with it, right? There is a slight more reasoning, and not good reasoning, not logical, but I can see the slight more reasoning as to why this might have happened for like a third time now. I think a second or third time now Jimmy Uso has been caught in DUI or some kind of drunk problem with police. So I'm not saying that he was right for doing it. I'm not saying it was not a bad thing, but there is some kind of grain of understanding that I guess I feel like I have for Jimmy Uso. I'm stupid decision, but I get it. With that being said, if I'm on a Major League Baseball team, if I play for the New York Yankees, let's imagine here, let's dream for a minute, because that was, fun fact, childhood dream of mine was to be the first female baseball player ever until I turned whatever and decided that baseball was difficult and I can't see anything, so it was really hard for me to hit the ball. Total sidetrack there. My point being is, let's say I'm on the New York Yankees. If I get a DUI on a Monday, you think they're going to let me play the game on Friday? No. Not at all. That's not how sports work. So I was blown away to see Jimmy Uso on my TV on Friday. And I don't know what the correct, I don't want to even call it punishment. I don't understand what the correct progression or what's the word I'm looking for. I don't know what the right thing to do after something like that happens is. I don't. I'm not a corporate person. I don't own a company. I don't own teams. I don't know. But I don't think it's to do what they did this week. So I will, that's the only thing I'm going to say on the topic. Obviously wish Jimmy Uso all the best, well wishes and hope if he does need help that he gets the help that he does need. And they kind of made a slight little mention of it on SmackDown, but I don't think you should. I think that's something that should be addressed obviously behind the scenes. I'm smart enough to know what's in the sandbox and what's not. So with all that being said, guys, that's it for me in the highs and lows area of the week. Obviously, we still got two more things to do here. We're going to go over to Aiden's Corner over here in Ireland with his two questions again this week. And as always, Aiden, thank you for sending in questions. You guys can send in questions if you want to, but I mean, I have to say, you're competing with Ireland's best here. So obviously, Aiden had mentioned he was in the hospital, so all well wishes from everybody here at the WWE podcast. Hope you feel better soon, and all the like. And two questions you say. You have one, if I had to schedule one WWE versus AEW star, men and women, what would my matches be? It's so funny, I saw this on, maybe I didn't see it on Twitter, maybe I just made it up on Twitter. I don't know, I was talking about this with somebody at least recently, and it was Ashley Mann, I think, a couple weeks ago. Anyways, dream match for AEW, WWE, for the women at least, is Britt Baker versus Charlotte Flair, or Britt Baker versus Bayley. I think those would be unbelievable matches, and I want to hear the promo game from Britt Baker, just tear apart Bayley, and then Bayley tear apart Britt Baker. I just think it would be so awesome. In regards to men, I'm so, like, uninterested in the male wrestling right now, and female. I'm so uninterested in WWE wrestling lately. Can I pick from NXT? I'm going to include NXT possibly. I'd love to see Adam Cole versus Kenny Omega. I'd love to see Rey Fénix versus Matt Riddle. Is that weird? I don't know why. I want to see that. I'd love to see Roman Reigns versus... I want to say Kenny Omega, but I want to see Roman Reigns versus Jon Moxley. And I know we've seen that match before, but imagine in their true forms now. Obviously, Jon Moxley joined the bald community this past week or the week before. Proud of Jon Moxley here at the WWE podcast. I'd love to see Jon Moxley versus Roman Reigns in their current form. So that's a shout. And your second question was Conor McGregor lost again last night. And no, I did not watch that. I was actually going to, but now it seems kind of silly too. But that's all right. I'm not huge into MMA, you asked. But I tune in every now and then and just some of the bigger stuff, obviously. And I don't know. I like to watch people beat each other up. That's why I watch wrestling, too, obviously, for the storytelling among things. But a lot of the time, MMA and UFC manage to tell better stories than WWE has lately. And they can't even script their stories. So there's that. Sad. Anyways, you said, do you see any MMA stars going to wrestling after retirement, Connor? We see what Lashley can do and, of course, Riddle. Who can you see MMA to WWE or vice versa? Well, obviously there was the, and I'm forgetting the names already, but the thing on Road Rager with two of the very, very good fighters. One female fighter, one of the baddest female fighters in the world. And then the other one is the one who knocked out, what's his name? The guy that Logan Paul just beat too. The one who hit the knee and it's like the fastest knockout in UFC history. That guy. I can't remember any of their names, but they were in AEW. So both of those people. But I'm actually with you, Aiden. I'd like to see Conor McGregor in WWE because I think the man can talk. If they just let him talk. I think Cain Velasquez was a flop. But I think if you let Conor McGregor come in and talk, I am Irish as well. Irish at heart. Aiden, very, very Irish descent, so I am all a big Conor McGregor fan. I think Conor McGregor is a great performer in general, obviously, and he knows what he's doing, so I want to see Conor McGregor in WWE, absolutely. Give me Conor McGregor versus Matt Riddle. Give me Conor McGregor versus Randy Orton, because I think that would be hilarious. And yeah, that's it. Thank you, obviously, for all the nice remarks, as always, Aiden. Like I said, we're wishing you the best. 7 nights in the hospital. I've been there. I've done that. I hope you got a lot of ginger ale and a lot of Italian ice and spinach. I don't know why. That's what I ate a lot of in the hospital, but I'm weird, I guess. So anyways, with all that being said, guys, we still have one more random match recommendation of the week, and with it being number 30 of the highs and lows of the week this time, I'm going to throw it back a little bit with your random match of the week, your random match recommendation of the week being none other than 2018 Women's Money in the Bank match. Guys, go check it out. The men's one is awesome as well, but this I think was my first random match recommendation of the week ever, and it was, yeah, the Women's Money in the Bank match from 2018, obviously at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. All our members, Naomi, even looked incredible in it. There were a lot of awesome spots. I'm going to watch tonight, so you guys should too. And yeah, that's all from me. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. I hope you guys enjoy Monday Night Raw. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I hope you do this Monday. I hope you guys enjoy NXT, AEW, SmackDown. And yeah, guys, WWE fans are back. SmackDown and AEW, obviously, already in Miami last week and obviously going to Texas. Fighter Fest coming up. It's a lot of good stuff to look forward to and be excited about. So, with all that, I'll talk to you guys next time.